Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the full corner contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is in the building, and we have in the screening room, double for your trouble, Richie Rich. You think it's a challenge, he makes it a cinch. He's there, he's never square. Make sure you know he's there, not eating his steak rare. Medium well, he says, never farewell. Pass the knife and give me a slice. Add some garlic butter, I might take a bite. You know what I'm talking about. And the real Jay Mack, ladies and gentlemen, is in the screen room. Look, Bobby's like, how long are you going to keep doing this, man? Often imitated, never duplicated. The real Jay Mack, Mr. McIntosh. Don't get it confused with Steve Jobs because he's already employed. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's program at this very moment. Many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs, where you generate an income, to your full-time jobs, where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to encourage you, as we do on a regular basis, to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family. And in light of the primacy that he places on family, we ascribe, we align ourselves with his pronouncement for society. And as a result, we position ourselves for maximized human flourishing. And people fail to understand what I mean by that. It was funny. I guess you can call it a badge of honor because I was called a Christian nationalist over the weekend. I was like, what? You surely don't listen to the program. Because if you did, you would know better, you know. But it was cool. No problem at all. I am grateful to be with you back from Plano, Texas, where I was with the North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship. I shared a few snippets on social media. I showed one picture from the men's breakfast. And that was actually early. More men came in after that. And then we had to leave from the room where the breakfast was served into the sanctuary because more men came than they were originally planning for. So it was a great, great time. And I was able to deliver the sermon at North Dallas this Sunday. Always a great time being with the family of God at North Dallas and Pastor Taryn Dames, who will also be at the Culture Proof Conference, Pastor Dames. And I'll talk more about that later. The Culture Proof Conference in Bartlett, Tennessee. But at this moment, as you're transitioning from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, if you're new to the program, I intentionally use that terminology because we must have a recalibration of our understanding. What you do to generate an income, as important as it is not your identity. Your full-time jobs is where you cultivate an outcome in obedience to the Lord. Oh, it's a question. What was the theme of the sermon? The sermon was rethink church, rethink family. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 was the primary text. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That's a good question. Thank you for that. But yeah, your full-time jobs are what we do, discharging our response, man, to the enduring, amazing, miraculous wonder that is salvation. The only appropriate response in light of what Jesus Christ has secured for us, Yeshua, HaMashiach has secured for us, is responding in obedience. Worship is not merely an activity, it's a lifestyle. There are numerous activities that take place within the lifestyle of obedience. I'm sorry, the lifestyle of worship. But the pinnacle of the lifestyle of worship is obedience. Jesus said very plainly, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. And he didn't just say that in a general sense. He said that for all of his followers. And it applies to all times and contexts. We're going to get into that right now as we turn to the Word of God. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17 is where I want to go. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. This is Jesus in what is regarded as a part of the upper room discourse prior to the crucifixion. He had summoned his disciples who would become his apostles. And he said this, and the Apostle John recorded it for our benefit. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. After making the observation, Jesus making the observation that the world wouldn't just tolerate, wouldn't just endure. And I always laugh when people say, we need to tolerate other people. Do we really? You know, when you go to the doctor, you have an injury. What does the doctor normally say? How much? What's your pain tolerance? What is tolerance? How much can you stand before you break? The kingdom citizen's position is not merely to tolerate other people, but is to love one another. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. The scripture unfolds that you cannot have love, biblically speaking, without truth. See, the world wants to use biblical terms but twist the meaning. Because when the world use love, they do not mean to communicate what the scriptures say love is. They want passive affirmation of fleshly pursuits, desires, and agendas. Love requires truth. After making the observation that the world would hate his disciples, Jesus immediately says, but I am not asking that they be removed from the world. As a practical matter, I know there are many professing believers in light of the intensity of our environment, the rapidly ascending wickedness that's prevalent all around us, in terms of governmental operations, the practical decimation of our Constitution, people who are supposed to be protecting and defending it are intentionally eviscerating it. And it could provoke a bit of fear, concern, outright panic if we allow ourselves to step outside of the mind of Christ. Because I want to remind you, not only did Jesus say the world would hate my disciples, but I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. The Lord has revealed to us in his holy word that he has determined aforetime the boundaries of our habitation and the times in which we would live. And I agree with you. I mean, some of you heard the program last week. I got hot. It's just the truth. At the wickedness in people who are intentionally working to destroy this country. But the Lord had to remind me, as I'm reminding you, hey, don't forget I appointed you for this time. Don't forget I've ordained for you to be alive. Don't forget you didn't make yourself an American citizen born in this country, talking about myself. We, brothers and sisters, must never forget that God is sovereign, which means he reigns. And because, not if, and because he has deposited us in the world, in the time that we are living in, He has done so expressly and explicitly for his divine purpose and for his glory. We must not be found cursing the very context that God has planted us in for his glory. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying you accept the wickedness that's happening. No, not at all. What I'm saying, I'm echoing what I said last week based on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. When the Apostle Peter is writing to first century believers in a context where persecution of believers is ascending, one of the things he said is be sober-minded. So I want to encourage and challenge you the same way the Lord is challenging me through his word, that with all that is transpiring around us, be sober-minded. Yes, assess the darkness. Yes, understand what's going on around you. But don't allow the external forces to dictate how you are going to respond. God has given us marching orders, and his marching orders apply to us in this time period. We must be about our Father's business. Let the reality of what's pressing around us drive us even the more to discharge in a lifestyle of worship. Let it drive us even the more to be about our Father's business. Let it drive us even the more to refuse, you know, I heard it said this way, to refuse to be pew potatoes. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I was having a conversation with some people. The fact that you have open eyes, that you can see what's happening, the fact that you have open ears, that you can discern what's going on, that is not merely the product of your intellectual acumen. That is a product of the grace of God, because, hear me well, not everybody can see. There are lots of people whose eyes have been blinded by the deluder. There are lots of people who have been taken captive by the deluder. And God has deposited you and me to be his hands and feet in this generation, just as our ancestors in the faith have been to their generations. It was an astounding thing for the Apostle Paul to tell the Ephesians, hey, you know, sexual immorality is sinful. And by the way, if you continue living that way unrepentant, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It was astounding for the Apostle Paul to tell the Ephesians, humble yourself. Because humility was something to be shunned and scorned in Ephesian culture. Humble myself? Humility is for the weak. What are you talking about, man? What I'm saying is that, brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you are in this world, but you're not to be of it. And the Lord desires for you and for me to be outposts for his glory. As the Spirit of God communicated through the Apostle Peter, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have to any who would ask you, as we've discussed numerous times. That doesn't mean we sit around waiting for somebody, hey, hi there, dear sir. Mr. Bobito, please tell me about this faith that you have. No. It means that we live in such a way that our lives are a countercultural declaration that provokes inquiry. That in a time of absurdities and chaos and all manner of things, massive confusion, the consistency and the stability of your walk and your lifestyle being driven by the fire of the power and presence of God, anchored by his holy word, discharging life in 21st century America. This is where I am. I know we have some people that listen and watch internationally. But where you may be, we have some folks in China, some folks in the UK and other places. Let us be about our Father's business, man. Jesus is not surprised about how absurd things are in our society. And he so prepared himself for it that he ordained for people like you and me to be alive so that we would be his ambassadors in this time period. And that as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that he would make his appeal through us, that we would compel men, be reconciled to God. What a time. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. The heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heart can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious babies. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. We have entered the season where, you never know, I might pop up in your neck of the woods. What am I talking about? Well, June 6th through the 8th. Well, let me take a few steps back. So if you want to participate in the Where in the World Will AB Next game, all you have to do is go to AFR.net. On the far right, there's a tab that says More Info. All right. Scroll down there and hit Speakers. All right. When you hit Speakers, you'll see my travel itinerary for the year. And right now you have a portion of it that just carries us through July. All right. So that's you can go there, a one-stop shop. You can see all the different places and events I'll be participating in throughout the year. You can just go there, AFR.net, more info, hit Speakers. All right, June 6th through the 8th, we'll go to Bobby's old stomping grounds, Virginia. I will be doing a lot there. June 6th through the 8th, I will be speaking and ministering at the 41st Annual Virginia Homeschool Convention, hosted by the Homeschool Educators Association of Virginia. Okay, this will be in Richmond, Virginia, hosted at the Greater Richmond Convention Center in Richmond, Virginia. All right, June 6th through the 8th. The plan so far is I'll be delivering several plenary session addresses, as well as ministering to pastors who come to the event at the pastor's workshop. We will also, and J-Mac will be traveling with me for this one, for several of these events. J-Mac will be on the road with us because we're going to broadcast the show live from these various places as well. So June 6th through the 8th in Richmond, Virginia at the 41st Annual Virginia Homeschool Convention, put on by HEAV, Home Educators Association of Virginia. You can go to HEAV.org. for more information for that event. Then the very next week, we'll be in Denver, Colorado at the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference. No J-Mac for that one, though. Denver, Colorado at the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference. You can go to, just as I said, at RockyMountainHomeschoolConference.com. Both of these events, you will have to register to attend. All right. These are both in June 6th through the 8th in Virginia, June 13th through the 15th in Colorado. Then, as I've already been announcing, July 18th through the 20th, the Culture Proof Conference at Faith Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee. We won't be broadcasting live for that one either. But there's more coming up. That's just, I don't have time to do all of them. We have more we'll be doing throughout the year. But go to cultureproof.net to register. The theme for the Culture Proof Conference is Resist. And some of you may ask, because I do wrestle with this a bit, and I pray about the invitations I accept. I really believe these are events that the Lord is calling me to participate in, because really he is rousing his bride to be fortified, to be refined, but for the purpose of functioning within these dark and evil days that we find ourselves in. So by God's grace, I'm going to do my level best to contribute to encouraging the body of Christ to stand, as well as sharing the gospel with those who may not yet be members of our eternal family, that they may join us in the eternal ark of safety that informs our current station and grounds us with the glorious hope of our anticipated station in life. All right, praise God. Well, I told you guys that I wasn't going to watch that State of the Union address live, and I didn't. But because y'all know me, I did go back after the fact. I did not watch the entire thing. I watched as much of it as I could. As much of it as I could, because I stood all I can stand till I can't stand no more. But instead of, and there's so many things I can say about that. I mean, so much I could say about the State of the Union address. But I thought it would be better to simply allow Joe Biden to respond to his own State of the Union address. You see, there was once a Joe Biden who was a lot different than Mr. Robinette of 2024. This Joe Biden is from 1989. In 1989, Joseph Robinette Biden of 1989, of 20th century Joe Biden, provided the response to George Herbert Walker Bush's speech, one of his speeches. And I just want you to enjoy this blast from the past. And you tell me if you notice anything different between 1989 and Mr. Ice Cream Man of today. It's clip number two. Go.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco-terrorists, and they must know it. And we don't have to promise a world without worry or fear. We're not asking for that much. All we have to do together is to keep our promises and stay together. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you, 1989. Thank you. See, folks, this is as much as for me as it is for you. This is Operation Keep Abe's Blood Below Boiling. See, when I tell you the things that are happening now, they're happening intentionally. Because old Joe, 1989, you know, not old Joe, you know, shuffling. Lincoln Riley, football coach in Oklahoma. This man called Lincoln Riley. Anyway, stay focused, Dave. See, back then, all I had to worry about my children's grades. I didn't have to worry about them, the drugs they were against school. Oh, you mean like fentanyl? Fentanyl? You know, from your friends, the Chinese? And I don't think we realize just how the reality is that with the drug phenomenon crossing our southern border, a lot of people talk a lot about the drug cartels, but really, do you realize that they are the junior partner in this arrangement. The senior partner is China. You see, years ago, we ceded territory on the ports that were taken over by China. And China has imported into Mexico printing places where they're making the fentanyl in the form of pills and things of that nature. It's the Chinese that are driving it. The same Chinese that old Hunter, my boy, was emailing back and forth saying, make sure you put 10% on the side for the big guy. So when you see that is porous, it's not accidentally porous, but old Joe, 1989, had a problem with that. 1989, Joe had a problem with thinking that his mom might be mugged on the streets of, I don't know, New York or New York, San Francisco, you know, where the world is a porta potty, you know, the whole city, parks. And oh my goodness, can you believe it? Old Joe in 1989 could not believe that anybody would want to hinder the work of Border Patrol. I mean, if we're going to take 1989 Joe's advice of going after the drug lords where they live, I guess he had to stop taking his 10% off the top from China. So I just want you guys to see that when you behold what is happening now, I want you to notice that this is intentional. Because even in the past, no matter what your party affiliation was, there used to be a common understanding that we needed to have solidity at our southern border in order to have a country. That's, you know, that's so 1980s. I'm going to move on to something that is vitally important that I don't think is getting the type of attention that it should now, because we have this thing about recency and immediacy and not very much capacity. When I say we, I'm talking about the population generally, not everybody. And we have wonderful people in this audience, but I'm talking about generally in our society, to where we don't realize many of the crises that are upon us now. And won't realize until it's too late. Last week, the Heritage Foundation hosted an event titled The Birth Dearth, Why the Decline in Marriage and Total Fertility is a Genuine Crisis. And let me just tell you this now. I want to take calls on this. We're going to open the phone lines in the third segment. And what I want to do specifically is to invite people to call who are single, who have never been married. And I'm simply going to ask the question, why do you think you aren't married? And I'll tell you now, I'm not going to condemn anybody. I'm not going to attempt to challenge your premise at all. I just want, what I want to do is to take what is presented before me, because I have a study and all of the data, you know, white papers and all of that, and I just want to put that up against real world testimony, you know, where you live, what you're experiencing. So if you are listening to me and you are unmarried, you've never been married, I just want to ask you what's going on in your world, if you're willing to call, to let me know what's going on there. I want to pit what your experiences are against the data that I have before me. So here's the data that I have before me. And this is from the Heritage Foundation's event titled The Birth Dearth, Why the Decline in Marriage and Total Fertility is a Genuine Crisis. According to the data, quote, the demographic crisis in the United States is real and a threat to society as we know it. The U.S. and almost all developed countries, I want you to notice that, the U.S. and almost all developed countries are failing to replace their populations. In 2022, the total fertility rate in the United States was 1.665 births per woman age 15 to 44. I don't think a woman is 15, but I'm going to just let that slide. Back to the data. Quote, this is well below the necessary replacement level of 2.1 births per woman among the 38 countries in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Fertility was even lower. So this is the these are the birth rates for the U.S., 1.665 births per woman. In other nations that are part of the OECD, European nation and others, it's even lower. Countries and civilizations cannot sustain themselves with that. Lindsay Burke, a policy expert at the Heritage Foundation, opined that a majority of undergraduate students now take 6 years to complete a four-year degree. That extension of time often results in a delaying of marriage and family life. That's true. Our sister Cynthia said, hey, they may not be a woman at 15 years old, but some of them are having babies. That's true. That's true. My friend, David McGee, who runs HYPE, a youth organization in New Orleans, he talks all the time about people, the young people coming to the meetings, have no concept, no desire whatsoever to be married. Some of them want to be parents, but they don't even want to be married. And so I just want to talk about what's going on the ground. Going back to Lindsay Burke, the Heritage Foundation policy expert. She went on further to explain that this extension of schooling, like taking 6 years, like just think about that. The majority of undergraduates today take 6 years to complete a four-year degree. I'm not throwing shade on anybody. But what is going on? The majority. So it's now become an exception for a four-year degree to take 4 years. That's a minority position. The majority of undergraduates takes longer. Goodness gracious. So according to Lindsay Burke, this extension of schooling typically leads to an extended adolescence. As she explains, quote, a period of limbo during which people who historically would have taken on adult roles of work and family largely defer assuming those responsibilities as a result of this protracted educational pursuit. Now, she's not saying it's a cause and effect type phenomenon. It's just an observation that she's making within the broader analysis of the total fertility rates being so low. So when we come back, and there's so much I want to get to, in the third segment, I'm going to share a little bit of information, an update on insanity that's happening in Haiti. But I want to take calls specifically from people who are unmarried, who've never been married. So what's happening in your own life? If you are not married, why do you think that is the case? Are you interested in being married even? Some of you may not even want to be married. You know, I just want to contrast real world conversations with the empirical data that I have before me. And I think this will be an important dialogue, really, for the entire audience. Stay with us here on the Hamilton Corner.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. As I mentioned, we will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you are willing to join this conversation is 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. What I'm looking to learn from you, if you are single, you've never been married, what is happening in your neck of the woods that has caused you or contributed to you not being married from your perspective? And what I'm looking to do is to contrast a real people's experience with the data that I have before me, you know, and I'm looking at marriage and the necessity of marriage and its contributions to fertility rates, because as it stands, our nation and almost all civilized nations are not reproducing at a level sufficient to replace our existing populace. And I don't want to keep people holding. So I have, you know, there's Haiti has descended into utter chaos, and I wanted to get to some of that, but I want to start this conversation first. So we will begin in Los Angeles. We'll begin in Louisiana, where Kim is on the line. And And I want to remind you that when we have this conversation, I'm not going to condemn anybody. I just want to hear from you what's going on or your perspective. I may ask a follow-up question or two just for clarity, but I just want to hear what's going on, where you are. So, Kim, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Abe, and you are welcome. Thank you for hosting. I love listening to your program. Try to catch it every evening on the drive home.
Thank you for doing that. I really, really, really appreciate it.
God bless you.
Okay, yes, so now you know the question on the table, right?
Yes.
What is happening in your part of the country? What has contributed to you not being married? I believe you're not married. You've never been married. Is that right?
No, never have.
Okay. All right. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
It's a little difficult to say. I will tell you a little bit about my history.
Okay.
At the age of 10, my mom read a book by, she heard about Ruth Bell Graham and how that she had begun praying for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began praying at a young age. And I've dated some people who were very nice, but I just never have felt as I prayed it through. The people I dated and I never felt like God was saying, yes, take this to the next level. You know, mm-hmm. this is my will for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just come to a point where if it happens, it happens. I mean, mm-hmm. I pined over it for many, many years, but I'm just at a point where, Lord, if you want this to happen, it has to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might disagree with that. They might think, oh, well, you need to put yourself out there more. But anyway, we'll just see.
Wow. To that, I would just say stick with the Bible. But let me ask this one question. And I heard you refer to the Lord, so that makes me believe that you are a member of the Lord's bride and you are invested in your local church. Is marriage prioritized and taught about in your local church often?
Yes, I would say it is. But we used to have a very large singles group,
mm-hmm.
very, very large.
Mm-hmm.
And that we don't even have a singles ministry anymore.
Okay.
And so whenever you look at the population of our particular parish here in Louisiana, it's interesting that almost 50% of the population is single.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking, where are they? You know, if they're not in our church and not in other churches, where are they?
Mm. Very good question. Kim, thank you so much for calling and participating in this conversation. We could be, you know, viewed as a little bit more personal than some of the times the conversations we have on the show. We'll go next to Texas, where Bobby is on the line. Bobby, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Abraham, thank you for taking my call. I listen to you, brother, and we're just from different mothers. me growing up, I was first one time in my life. Abraham, I was the first juvenile to be tried as an adult. I learned at a young age from a friend of mine that my mother and my brothers and sisters are not my real brothers and sisters. And the devil used that little lie that I latched onto. And every aspect of marriage and way I grew up in Southern Illinois, my mom married a town drunk. It just wasn't good. And I just thought, I ain't doing none of that.
Mm.
But then the Lord got a hold of me in 2012.
Mm.
It changed all of that.
Mm.
So here I am, 55 years old, never been married, had one child, had the great privilege of letting her die in my arms, because God knew that's what it was going to take to get a hold of me.
Mm.
And when he did, now I won't do it no way but his.
Mm.
Shacking up ain't the way, people. Don't go down the devil's route.
Mm.
Stick with God's way, and you'll find the right woman or the right man, and nothing will come between it.
Mm. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for your call and your comments. So Bobby is sharing that his life experiences really shaped his perception of marriage and really made him think negatively of it, but the Lord arrested him, pun intended, Bobby, and it changed his whole perspective. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's not easy to share some of these personal aspects of our lives, and so I really appreciate you doing that for the entire audience here. We'll go next to Ohio, where Sandra is on the line. Sandra, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Abe. I appreciate your show.
Good evening, Sister Sandra. I appreciate you calling.
I think a big part is the sexual revolution.
Mm.
For me to say no, there's 20 others to say yes.
I'm going to interpret for the people that's way in the back. When Sister Sandra say for me to say no, she's saying no to what the folks was advocating for in the sexual revolution. But they got 20 others that are saying, si, senor. Okay, go ahead, Sandra.
Right. I mean, even the older fellows. I mean, I'm 59. I was seeing a guy who was 71. And, you know, he didn't want to be bothered because I wasn't willing to go to bed with him.
Wow.
But, you know, life goes on.
Wow. Yeah, Sandra, yeah. I really think you really hit on something there. Thank you so much for bringing that up. How the sexual revolution has impacted it, because there used to be almost a cultural norm in our country to where it was anticipated. I'm not saying people didn't deviate, but there was an anticipation that physical intimacy followed matrimonial commitment. But when you had the sexual revolution combined with third wave feminism, by the way, that separated, I'll say, the physical pleasures from its purpose within the bounds of holy matrimony, then you have, as my grandmother would say, why secure said bovine commitments if you can get access to the udders for free. Some of y'all gonna need translation. I'm gonna say it just like that, and I'm gonna leave it there. We'll go next to Kentucky, to where Britton is on the phone. Did I pronounce your name properly, Britton? Uh-oh.
Like Great Britain.
Britton, yeah, like Great... Wait, well, we're going to just call you Great Britain then. Great Britain is on the line, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
You know, greatness is overrated. But anyway, okay, so I'm 46. I've never been married, no kids. And the long and short is I grew up in a bad, violent home situation. Mm. And I was also with undiagnosed autism all the way up until I was 30. And at 15, I was kicked out and abandoned by my family. Mm. And I've been on my own ever since. And so I developed borderline because of what I experienced. So through all that, I had a hard time connecting with people and fitting in and all that kind of things you can imagine. And so the only people the only girls I was attracting were ones that had more bats in the belfry than I did.
Mm.
And so I mean, even trying to go into church, trying to meet someone decent through church, that's never worked out. And, you know, I deal with a lot of deep depression, so I quit going to church because, you know, being there by myself all the time and being around people, you know, families and friends and all that, I'm just sitting there, you got a point I can't deal with anymore. So, that's pretty much where I'm at.
Mm. Britton, thank you for calling. I know it's not easy to share all of that information. I do pray, however, that in spite of what you've experienced historically, that the Lord does draw you and restore you to corporate worship, you know, because that is a vital, vital component, not just for relationship purposes, but really for sanctification, and not just what you could receive, but what you could contribute to a local assembly. But thank you for calling and sharing that with everybody. We'll go next to Florida, where D is on the line. D, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate your program, and I listen to you all the time. Thank you so much for the information you bring.
Oh, it is truly, truly, truly my pleasure. Go right ahead, D. What is happening in your neck of the woods in the land of DeSantis?
Basically, family issues growing up between my mom and dad really dissuaded me from wanting to be married.
Mm.
So I wasn't interested in the least. About my 30s, I began to lighten up on that hard stance, and I just basically said to the Lord, if you want me married, you've got to bring me somebody, because I'm not mature enough to pick somebody. Mm. You got to put him in front of me. And I've just been praying that all along, and so far the Lord hasn't brought me anybody, so I presume that is his will for my life.
Mm. Mm. Thank you, Dee. Thank you for you calling and sharing that as well, and I'm sure as many people are listening to the callers, that lots of people are saying, yeah, I agree with that. Or say, oh, I don't agree with that. But this is interesting because the data doesn't take into consideration the wide variance of experience that lots of people have. Because like I said, it's one thing to look at hard data on the page, and it's another thing to actually have firsthand testimony from people. But let's continue the conversation. We'll go next to Tennessee, where LaShonda is on the line. LaShonda, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. Yes, go right ahead.
Hello. Hi, how are everybody doing?
We're doing very well, ma'am. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, let me tell you what's going on with me. Let me see. Well, next month I'll be 49, never been married, 2 children grown, no grandchildren. I take care of my business, but the other lady, I don't remember her name, and I agree with her. It's like the sexual thing. This is my thing. If I'm not good enough for you to wait until we get married, I mean, it's nothing, because you can have a relationship with somebody, you know, you don't have to have sex with them, you know, and it's like now with these ages and days, it's like that's all guys want, you know, is sex. And like I said, the relationship is more than just sex. Get to know me, you know, let's get to know one another. Let's get to know, you know, and see if we both believe in the same God, to see what's on your bloodline, what's on my bloodline, so we can pray together. You know, maybe it's generational curses. Let's get through all of that first. Versus, you know, when people say, what can you bring to the table? We're not talking about that. We got to make sure that we, you know, are in line with the same God. You know, our yoke have to be even, because I think a lot of people now just get married just for show. And it's another thing. I'm trying to hurry up. When the Lord do send me somebody, he's going to have to whoop me across my head with a sandal to let me know, daughter, this is the one, because I'm not going for no crap. However, when the Lord do bring me someone, we're going to go to the courthouse, because I believe that when two people get married, to me, it's personal, and it's just between me, that person, and the Lord.
All right.
After we get married, and then that's when I'll, you know, let people know, hey, when did you get married? Oh, we got married like a month ago. We went to the courthouse, because sometimes when you tell people what's going on, instead of them praying for you, they'll be praying against you. So I'm a be quiet so the next caller can come in. But I just had, you know, to say that, because it do. It seems like it's all about sex, and it's not, you know. And I'm going to say one more thing. A lot of women mess it up, too, because, you know, they're shacking up, living together, having sex. If you already doing this, if you getting the cow for free, you don't need to marry.
Hey, you got
everything already. So,
utter
right,
access
so why
before.
Would he miss?
LaShonda, thank you for calling. LaShonda had to get some off her chest. I know we have people holding. I guess we need to continue this conversation later. We got more fellas. Man. Goodness, I guess I should have expected this, but I didn't. I didn't know how it was going to go. But LaShonda had lots to say in it. You know, it is in this hypersexualized culture that we have. What I was going to ask, I didn't get to ask today. I was saying, are we talking about men that's in the church that's trying to get LaShonda and one of our other sisters calling saying, wait, these dudes are trying to cross into undefiled territory while they're being defiled. Oh, Lord, help us today and every day. Y'all have a good evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.